Hare Krishna. This is a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, with translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Third Canto, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila. Texts 1 through 10. As a reminder, these podcasts are audio companions to a free online study at our website, sadhusanghaonline.com. If you would like to delve deeper into studying Srimad Bhagavatam with other devotees, please join us. These podcasts and our online study series are made possible by contributions from devotees. To offer your support, please use the links on our website homepage or send donations through PayPal to sadhusanghaonline@gmail.com. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, Third Canto, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila. Texts 1 and 2. Devahuti inquired,
"My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to Shankya's system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems."
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this 29th chapter, the glories of devotional service are elaborately explained, and the influence of time on the conditioned soul is also described. The purpose of elaborately describing the influence of time is to detach the conditioned soul from his material activities, which are considered to be simply a waste of time. In the previous chapter, material nature, the spirit, and the Supreme Lord, or Supersoul, are analytically studied. And in this chapter, the principles of bhakti yoga, or devotional service, the execution of activities in the eternal relationship between the living entities and the personality of Godhead, are explained. Bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the basic principle of all systems of philosophy. All philosophy which does not aim for devotional service to the Lord is considered merely mental speculation. But of course, bhakti yoga, with no philosophical basis, is more or less sentiment. There are two classes of men. Some consider themselves intellectually advanced and simply speculate and meditate. And others are sentimental and have no philosophical basis for their propositions. Neither of these can achieve the highest goal of life, or if they do, it will take them many, many years. Vedic literature, therefore, suggests that there are three elements, namely, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, and their eternal relationship, and that the goal of life is to follow the principles of bhakti, or devotional service, and ultimately attain to the planet of the Supreme Lord in full devotion and love, as an eternal servitor of the Lord. Sankhya philosophy is the analytical study of all existence. One has to understand everything by examining its nature and characteristics. This is called the acquirement of knowledge. But one should not simply acquire knowledge without reaching the goal of life, or the basic principle for acquiring knowledge, bhakti yoga. If we give up bhakti yoga, and simply busy ourselves in the analytical study of the nature of things as they are, then the result will be practically nil. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that such engagement is something like husking a paddy. There is no use beating the husk if the grain has already been removed. By the scientific study of material nature, the living entity, and the supersoul, one has to understand the basic principle of devotional service to the Lord. Text 3. Devahuti continued.
My dear Lord, please also describe in detail, both for me and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death. For by hearing of such calamities, we may become detached from the activities of this material world.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word samstrihi is very important. Shreya stri means the prosperous path of advancement toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And samstri means the continued journey on the path of birth and death toward the darkest region of material existence. People who have no knowledge of this material world, God, and their actual intimate relationship with Him, are actually going to the darkest region of material existence in the name of progress in material advancement of civilization. To enter the darkest region of material existence means to enter into a species of life other than the human species. Ignorant men do not know that after this life they are completely under the grip of material nature and will be offered a life which may not be very congenial. How a living entity gets different kinds of bodies will be explained in the next chapter. This continual change of bodies in birth and death is called samsara. Devahuti requests her glorious son, Kapila Muni, to explain about this continued journey, to impress upon the conditioned souls that they are undergoing a path of degradation by not understanding the path of bhakti yoga or devotional service. Text 4.
Please also describe eternal time, which is a representation of your form, and by whose influence people in general engage in the performance of pious activities.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. However ignorant one may be regarding the path of good fortune and the path down to the darkest regions of ignorance, everyone is aware of the influence of eternal time, which devours all the effects of our material activities. The body is born at a certain time, and immediately the influence of time acts upon it. From the date of the birth of the body, the influence of death is also acting. The advancement of age entails the influence of time on the body. If a man is 30 or 50 years old, then the influence of time has already devoured 30 or 50 years of the duration of his life. Everyone is conscious of the last stage of life when he will meet the cruel hands of death. But some consider their age and circumstances, concern themselves with the influence of time, and thus engage in pious activities so that in the future they will not be put into a low family or an animal species. Generally, people are attached to sense enjoyment, and so aspire for life on the heavenly planets. Therefore, they engage themselves in charitable and other pious activities. But actually, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, one cannot get relief from the chain of birth and death, even if he goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, because the influence of time is present everywhere within this material world. In the spiritual world, however, the time factor has no influence. Text 5.
My dear Lord, you are just like the sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditional life of the living entities. Because their eyes of knowledge are not open, they are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter. And therefore, they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities. And they appear to be very fatigued.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Srimati Devahuti, the glorious mother of Lord Kapiladev, is very compassionate for the regrettable condition of people in general who, not knowing the goal of life, are sleeping in the darkness of illusion. It is the general feeling of the Vaishnav, or devotee of the Lord, that he should awaken them. Similarly, Devahuti is requesting her glorious son to illuminate the lives of the conditioned souls, so that their most regrettable conditioned life may be ended. The Lord is described here as Yoga Bhaskara, the son of the system of all yoga. Devahuti has already requested her glorious son to describe Bhakti Yoga, and the Lord has described Bhakti Yoga as the ultimate yoga system. Bhakti Yoga is the sun-like illumination for delivering the conditioned souls, whose general condition is described here. They have no eyes to see their own interests. They do not know that the goal of life is not to increase the material necessities of existence, because the body will not exist more than a few years. The living beings are eternal, and they have their eternal need. If one engages only in caring for the necessities of the body, not caring for the eternal necessities of life, then he is part of a civilization whose advancement puts the living entity in the darkest regions of ignorance. Sleeping in that darkest region, one does not get any refreshment, but rather gradually becomes fatigued. He invents many processes to adjust this fatigued condition, but he fails and thus remains confused. The only path for mitigating his fatigue in the struggle for existence is this path of devotional service, or the path of Krishna consciousness. Text 6. Sri Maitreya said, O best amongst the Kurus, the great sage Kapila, moved by great compassion and pleased by the words of his glorious mother, spoke as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Kapila was very satisfied by the request of his glorious mother, because she was thinking not only in terms of her personal salvation, but in terms of all the fallen conditioned souls. The Lord is always compassionate toward the fallen souls of this material world, and therefore he comes himself, or he sends his confidential servants to deliver them. Since he is perpetually compassionate towards them, if some of his devotees also become compassionate toward them, he is very pleased with the devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that persons who are trying to elevate the condition of the fallen souls by preaching the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, namely fully surrender unto the personality of Godhead, are very dear to him. Thus, when the Lord saw his beloved mother was very compassionate toward the fallen souls, he was pleased, and he also became compassionate towards her. Text 7. Lord Kapila, the Personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Purport. I, Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is one, because in pure devotional service, there is no demand from the devotee to be fulfilled by the Lord. But generally, people take to devotional service with a purpose. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, people who are not purified take to devotional service with four purposes. A person who is distressed because of material conditions becomes a devotee of the Lord and approaches the Lord for mitigation of his distress. A person in need of money approaches the Lord to ask for some improvement in his monetary condition. Others who are not in distress or in need of monetary assistance, but are seeking knowledge in order to understand the absolute truth, also take to devotional service, and they inquire into the nature of the Supreme Lord. This is very nicely described in Bhagavad Gita 7:16. Actually, the path of devotional service is one without a second. But according to the devotee's condition, devotional service appears in multifarious varieties, as will be nicely explained in the following verses. Text 8. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has already been stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, second chapter, that the highest, most glorious religion is the attainment of causeless, unmotivated devotional service. In pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not actually a motive, that is the pure condition of the living entity. In the conditioned stage, when one engages in devotional service, he should follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. The spiritual master is the manifested representation of the Supreme Lord, because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are, by disciplic succession. It is described in Bhagavad Gita that the teachings therein should be received by disciplic succession. Otherwise, there is adulteration. To act under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master with a motive to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure devotional service. But if one has a motive for personal sense gratification, his devotional service is manifested differently. Such a man may be violent, proud, envious, and angry, and his interests are separate from the Lord's. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade, tamasaha. Srila Visvanatha Chakrabarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnav who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnav is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. But if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnav of the first order and of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnav because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life, but one should not keep company with a Vaishnav who is in the mode of ignorance. Text 9. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit words in this connection are bina drik and pritag bhavaha. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their own sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. That is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interests of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Mayavadis, however, interpret the word separatist in a different way. They say that while worshiping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. That is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interest. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. Text 10. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inhibitories of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, along with the Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasths, and Sannyasis, are the members of the 8 divisions of the Varnas and Ashrams, and they have their respective duties to perform for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When such activities are performed, and the results are offered to the Supreme Lord, they are called karmarpanam, duties performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. If there is any inhibitory or fault, it is atoned for by this offering process. But if this offering process is in the mode of goodness, rather than in pure devotion, then the interest is different. The 4 ashrams and the 4 varnas act for some benefit in accordance with their personal interests. Therefore, such activities are in the mode of goodness. They cannot be counted in the category of pure devotion. Pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami, is free from all material desires. Anyabhilasita sunyam. There can be no excuse for personal or material interests. Devotional activities should be transcendental to fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation. Pure devotional service is transcendental to all material qualities. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering prayer, rendering service, and surrendering everything. And each of them can be divided into 3 qualitative categories. There is hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there is chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness, etc. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27, and when again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service, as explained in the next verses.